Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hello, hello, everybody. This is episode 286 of your Scope program, starring me, co-starring Jared.
Hey!
And via satellite, yes, the one and only Adam is back with us.
Hi.
The excitement is overwhelming.
I was bringing that heat.
I'm like looking to your spot right now, and all there is a... Believe it or not, a Brookstone bag sitting in your space.
Yeah, no, the space is chaos right now. It's best you're not
here. That's very on-brand for me.
That's so on-brand, it's going out of business.
It's a bag full of cables. It's very bizarre. But
that would be a bunch of Josh Brolin's as cable.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. Oh, boy. Yes, Adam is here. Jared is here. And it is episode 286, our holiday spectacular. We love to do this show every year, so we needed to make sure that Adam was at least going to be here with us via the internet. I guess that's, I would like love to say over the airwaves or phone, but it really is Skype.
Well, these packets are taking all kinds of routes to get here, Shane.
It's everywhere. Yeah. So Adam is here. He's fresh off of having a baby.
Right. Last time we checked in with Adam, he was in studio and he was about to be a papa. Mm-hmm. And all that stuff has happened now.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So, Adam, how has the dadding been going? Has it met your expectations? Has it been easier than you thought? Harder than you thought? What say you?
I think it's about meeting expectations.
Yeah.
It's very tiring, you know, like people say. Not getting a ton of sleep. Because of other stuff, I'm kind of on kid duty from like 9 until 4 in the morning.
Yes.
So that's like a little bit more.
So 9 p.m. till 4 a.m. That's your shift?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I sleep during it. You know, it just means I get up when he needs food or he's angry for whatever reason.
Got it.
Yeah. He's angry. I think that we picked Snow Patrol as our favorite band.
Very controversial.
There's a callback.
How much does he sleep during the evening time? What's his sleep schedule?
You know, up until last night, it had been kind of like 2.5 hours, mm-hmm. And then he'd want to eat again. And then last night he went for like 3.5 for one stretch, and then 4 for the other. So that's our new peak.
Wow! So it's like he knew you had to be fresh for the show, and he exactly. was giving Dad a little bit of a little leeway for one evening.
Yes.
What a pal! So,
now we just need to repeat literally everything we did yesterday, so that he keeps doing it.
Right. It's like Head and Shoulders shampoo, rinse, repeat.
I hear that.
Rinse, repeat.
I kind of get that vibe from other new parents. It's like they sort of like figure out that the baby slept longer than before. This must be the magic formula. Yeah. We must do this every time.
And then they do it, and it works for like a week, and then all of a sudden it goes to hell because kids are human beings and whatever. Or maybe he'll just start sleeping even longer. You never know.
You never know.
Does he sleep in your room?
Yeah, we're following all the rules. So he sleeps in a bassinet in our room.
So every little movement you hear, are you always on edge? Do you feel like you're primed for battle all the time? Because that's how I was.
We have a lot of white noise in that room right now. So
okay, that's good.
But he's also very loud. He's like a grunty guy.
He gets that from mom, from what I understand.
I think he wants a lot of home improvement while he was in utero. So that's probably where it all comes from.
Yes, probably.
So the white noise, it covers some, but definitely not all of his expressions.
Sure. So let me ask this: what's the one thing that's been easier than you thought, or has there been nothing? It's been all difficult and impossible with him.
I will say he's very nice. You know, when he's not being not nice, he's
all right. Very nice.
You know, I don't think it's necessarily a hard job, right? Because they don't have big needs, right, or anything. It's just like, they need food and sleep and constant changing and attention, but it's not like I'm lifting anything hard. It's just a lot of attention.
Right.
So
Are you a master swaddler at this point, or swaddling bad now?
You know, we stopped swaddling after the first couple weeks because he just didn't seem to like it, and he seems much happier now that we're not doing that.
It's got
to
be free.
Yeah, we swaddled Audrey up until she was about 13, I think.
That's good.
And her arms, I'm telling the truth, her arms literally cannot move from her sides. She looks just like a fountain pen or something. It's very bizarre.
There you go. Weird. Does she have like one of those clicky things on her head?
She does. You push it and her toes click out. It's amazing.
Huh.
One last question, Adam. So Christmas is coming up. This is baby's first Christmas. How mm-hmm. crazy is everybody going? Are you guys buying gift after gift that he'll never remember? Are the grandparents all involved in this? Give me the view from the floor on that one.
We aren't doing anything.
Yeah,
we're not buying anything because everyone else in the world is happy to. So that's kind of where everything stands.
You've probably got a good 2 years before you have to really do anything because none of these memories are going to imprint. So
right.
It's going to work out perfectly for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got plenty. You got a nice big window to screw things up.
Right.
Exactly. We don't have any room for any of these things that he keeps getting, but we'll.
What's he getting? Like cozy coops, Little Tykes cozy coops, rocket ship beds, that sort of thing for the future.
His grandparents gave him a car that you'd sit on and, you know, kind of push with your feet.
It's
he's not going to use this for 2 years. But it looks cool, I guess.
Got a whole suite of woodwind instruments because who knows? He might be a musician.
Right. Since he's a Sitnik baby, he probably won't be able to push that car for about 4 years, given your athletic prowess.
Exactly.
How? That's I'm so mean. Sorry.
He's not here. He's not even here.
I'm digging in on him.
You're sending those hateful packets over the wires.
I know. I'm totally wasting the internet right now.
I think it's its purpose.
Yeah. Adam, thank you for making time to be with us. It would not be a holiday spectacular without you. You know, and as I was doing research to try to figure out what we could do, you know, and other years we've talked about our favorite gifts. We've talked about we've had actually two gift giving guides. I did not realize that where we went through and picked out stuff that I'm sure we totally blew up the internet too. Everything sold out when we suggested you should get this.
Yeah.
We've done.
It worked on me because Adam said, "Hey, you should get the Sonova sous vide cooker," and I got it. So,
and now you're an Instant Pot guy.
Yeah,
so
I'm not looking for a new home for my Anova sous vide cooker because I can do it in the Instant Pot.
You never keep up. It's impossible.
Yes, it is. And last year, if everybody recalls, we did a fantastic like March Madness toy bracket. And I was going to do something like that, but I wasn't sure if you were going to be in studio, Adam. So I think we'll save that for next year. But sure. This year.
Now you're assuming that Adam's still going to be around next year.
No, he's going to be back. He will come back for this show. Okay. There's no doubt about it. But one thing we never did was talk about gifts as a kids that we wanted, that we begged for, that we hoped we would get, but never did. So I figured this would be that great year. Since you are absent from the studio, Adam, I thought we would do an episode about absent gifts. Seems great. Fair, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's very, very exciting. I think Adam's getting angry just about those gifts that he did not get. He's reliving the pain.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
And Jared's sad. He's been crying all day. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be.
We'll get into that.
It's going to be a highly emotional Scope episode 286. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more Jared, Adam, and me right after this.
Ah, folks, it's the holiday season. And you know what makes the best gift to give? That's right. Patreon subscription to The Scope Show. You can do that. Head on over to the patreon.com/The Scope Show where you can pledge as little as $1 per episode, set a monthly cap, cancel any time. Hey, maybe you don't want to support, but maybe you think your brother, your sister, your mom, dad, friend, enemy, I don't care. They could all support us. Send them that way. Tell them to give us money. It helps us keep the show afloat. It keeps Adam's baby in diapers. You know it's the right thing to do. I ran out of music, but it's the holiday season. I'm going to keep going. patreon.com/The Scope Show for more information.
And we are back, episode 286, very festive. That is the Scope Christmas Carol, is it not, Jared? You spent all evening composing that.
I went to the YouTube Creator Library and found something that worked.
The tubular bells, the jingle bells, it's got it all. Except Mariah Carey singing, but we'll add that in post. We're back at the Scope. This year we are sort of anchoring our holiday special around gifts we never received as kids, but we really wanted. This ought to be very exciting. I'm sure this will be slices of pop culture that fit right into our wheelhouse. Jared is here. Adam is here. I am here. So let's get into it. Let's talk about these gifts that we never got. Maybe there's stories around it. How about if I kick this
off,
Adam? I'm going to kick it off because this is probably the oldest of all of them. But back in 1978, that holiday season, you guys may or may not know that was the first year that Star Wars toys came out.
Oh, I know.
There were no Star Wars toys, like action figures, in the stores in 1977 because the toy companies didn't know it was going to be this big, so there was a scramble.
Yeah, Mattel had that mail-away pack. Like, you get this little standee thing, and then you can get some figures in the mail.
Little history. Mattel passed on that license. Mm. Mego passed on that license.
Mistake.
But a little company that could, right out of Cincinnati, Ohio, called Kenner, said, we'll do this, and it utterly blew up their world. They were selling millions and millions of figures. They were selling millions and millions of toys, of spaceships, of playsets. But their biggest playset was something that I never got. I never even asked for because
you knew it wasn't happening.
Because I knew it wasn't happening. I'm talking about the home base of the Imperials, the Death Star space station playset. Jared, play this commercial, this classic vintage commercial, and let's get a feel for what I'm talking about.
Here's the new Star Wars Death Star space station that you put together. Action figures each sold separately.
Darth Vader's firing a laser cannon.
It's been hit.
He's at the loop. Take the elevator.
Hurry.
Now cross the light bridge.
You won't escape me.
Jump, Luke. Oh, no. The trash compactor. There's a trash monster. The wall's closing. Save.
Kenner's new Star Wars Death Star space station. Action figures each sold separately.
So, for the record, I'm going to give you guys a little mini quiz.
Oh.
This was the biggest Star Wars toy of the time. Actually, I don't know if in terms of sheer height if they ever made anything as big as this.
Yeah.
What do you think the retail price of this sucker was in 1978?
$119.
No. That's way too high.
Close.
Jared, really? Close?
No. Jared, you give a guess.
I don't know. $59.99.
The retail price of this toy, and I did a lot of research.
Wait, adjusted for inflation?
Not adjusted for inflation in 1978.
Yeah.
Was $18.
What?
What?
$18.
What is that in 2018 bucks?
I'm sure that's got to be $75 or $80.
1978.
Jared's looking this up.
Let's see here. All right. In 2013 dollars. No. Inflation. There we go. $1978. All right. So how much?
$18.
$18, 1978, calculate, $69.58.
So $70 bucks.
That's
still not that expensive.
Yeah.
But yeah, back in those days, I was not Mr. Richie Rich, so that was out of the question. When I received the Millennium Falcon as a gift, that utterly blew my world. I never thought that I would ever get anything like that, and I cherished that toy for years and years and years. Even though when I received it on Christmas morning, I've told the story before, there was a Target price tag on there. It was from Santa. And at the age of four, I was already...
You already knew
I was
Santa already appreciated a bargain.
That Santa might not be as real as I wanted him to be.
Wow.
So there you go. Death Star playset, 1978. Kenner toys. Adam, I know you've got a list of toys.
Yeah.
Why don't you introduce the first one that you were disappointed to never get?
So growing up, I really wanted the slot car car things. You know what
like
I'm talking about?
The electric cars? Yeah.
Yeah. I had a friend that had a set, and I think his parents only got him just like the basic set. So it was like just an oval. It's pretty boring.
Not even a figure eight?
Don't tell that to NASCAR fans.
Maybe it was a
that
figure
oval's
eight.
The best.
Maybe it was a figure eight. I feel like it was just an oval. That's all I can remember. But I feel like the turns maybe were like kind of like ramped up a little bit. So that at least there was, you know, something three dimensional going on there, but they sucked. Like you had to, like, you couldn't just hold down the trigger the whole time. You had to actually like feather it through the turns.
If you hold it down, that car just goes flying, probably smashes into a wall and breaks.
Exactly. And
you gotta learn the techniques. Come on.
Yeah. Well, as a 9-year old, you just want to kind of hold the thing down and make it go as fast as possible. So at some point in time, I haven't been able to find out exactly when the Wikipedia pages for these are not wonderful, but in the '80s, Tyco released a bunch of different sets, and the one that I always wanted the most was the Zero Gravity Cliffhanger,
the
set.
Wall crawler. Yeah. Yes,
exactly.
Yes,
we remember those from our Toys R Us.
Yeah,
days.
They existed in those days,
and I bet. They never worked. I bet, you know, once you hit any sort of amount of verticality, it would either just fall off or whatever. But the commercial sure made it seem cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we want to play the entire commercial. I don't even know if the commercial is going to, like, explain anything or if it's just cool sound effects. But
well, that's never stopped us here at the Scope.
We love a good visual-only audio play.
Yes.
What am I playing, number one?
Yeah, sorry, this is number one.
All right.
Ooh. They're here, Zero Gravity Cliffhangers, because you race them upside down, plummeting through the giant loop as you reach for new speeds and use your skill to master the death-defying spiral and blast up the walls of zero gravity. And then, back into the giant loop, you make your final move now to take the lead and win. Zero Gravity Cliffhangers, it's all in how you look at it. New from Tyco, of course.
Of course.
It's all in how you look at it. Oh, yeah. Weird.
And I remember, like, they every year they would keep amping up the zero G like features. Eventually they would have, like, the glow and remember they'd have, like, in the dark zero G.
Yeah,
you don't even have to have the lights on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're using all your electricity to power the track.
Right.
Turn the lights off, kids.
And you never got one, Adam, but in your did you ever buy one for yourself at a later date?
No, that, like, they took up so much room, and my recollection of them was, like, never actually working well. And also video games, just racing got better, yes. But they're kind of like, in researching it, like, there's, of course, crazy people on the internet that are just, like, you know, like, model train people that, you know, create, like, cities around the world and or, like, real racetracks around the world that are slot car tracks and everything.
Sure.
And the just the size of them is... I don't know, ridiculous.
Jared can attest to this, but they were, for a time, very popular at Toys R Us. Mm-hmm. There was a whole section of an aisle. What aisle was that? 6C, I think?
Somewhere around there, yeah, yeah.
But the problem was is that they were big boxes, but they were narrow.
Yeah.
So they would constantly fall into the aisle. So, like, you try to stack them in there. It was like stacking a house of cards.
Yeah.
And then sometimes people would rip into them, so then you're trying to figure out how do you put this stuff back together.
It was slot car track guts everywhere.
It was a nightmare, but, you know, in the early 90s, people still dug these things. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Do they still? Like, is that still a thing people are into? Like,
I don't know if I've ever seen them at a store.
It doesn't look like it. The Wikipedia article is actually kind of interesting because it talks about, like, different developments through the years. And, like, the last large one was in 2004. When many of the manufacturers introduced digital control systems, which mm-hmm. allowed multiple cars to be on a single track and for track switching and stuff like that.
Oh, sure.
Like, I mean, that's kind of sounds cool when you think about it.
It makes me wonder if this isn't like a casualty of the big box toy stores dying away and just mm-hmm. there's less shelf real estate now in the big discount retailers. And so slot cars just don't make the cut.
Yeah, I know that there's been, you know, speaking to Adam's point, I know there have been like updated type slot car. I'm doing that in air quotes, but small cars where you can race around track. I know there's been Mario Kart type stuff. I know that there's been other versions of that where you can control it with your phone. But the standard slot car, I think, has gone the way of the dodo.
There is actually a slot car racing league, which I'm sure is about like, you know, as legit as like my X-Wing stuff. The last standings that I can find are from 2016, and the top three places in the world, all three dudes from Czechoslovakia. So,
all right,
shout out to the Czechs.
Czechs do it right.
They know they're still carrying the torch for slot car racing.
That's right. Czechs equals slot cars. So, Jared, we come to you now. Your story's a bit more complicated.
Yeah.
So, why don't you set it up? Talk a little bit about it.
All right. So longtime Scope listeners will know this about me, but if you're new to the show, this is a little bit of behind the scenes. I grew up in what some kids would consider a cult. and that would be the Jehovah's Witness. We were J Dubs when I was young, and if you're at all familiar with the Jehovah's Witnesses, you know that Christmas isn't celebrated. In fact, birthdays aren't even celebrated. Most holidays where there's gift giving are too worldly. We don't do them.
But they did double down on Arbor Day.
They did. Oh, lots. Well, you got to get out there and plant the trees, save the planet. growing up, I didn't really, you know, for most of my formative years where one would look for a hot toy that you want every year and then hope that you get it and maybe you didn't get it, whatever. That just wasn't a cycle that I went through. I definitely wanted toys. Don't get me wrong. I'm any old kid, but I didn't get them. So,
you coveted them.
So, yeah. So, pretty much, you know, I would go through the JCPenney catalog every year because we were this area's JCPenney country, right? Mm-hmm. Did we have Sears?
Sears, JCPenney, Montgomery Wards. But, those are our three catalogs.
Yeah, Montgomery
and LaBelle's, too.
Yeah, that's true. But I remember, like, JCPenney and Montgomery Wards.
Those are the heavy hitters, yeah.
Sears was less of a thing, but you'd go through and you'd see all the toys and be like, oh, I want all this stuff. It was great. You know, anything Star Wars, I wanted anything Star Wars.
So you're telling me you didn't get the Death Star playset either?
I did not.
Oh.
Did not. And so as I'm kind of trying to do some planning for this segment, I actually texted my mother and I said, hey, can you think of any toys I wanted for Christmas as a kid but didn't get because of the whole JW thing? And her response was maybe gun/war-related games or figures, the bad Star Wars guys, no G.I. Joe, you know, stuff like that. I mean, so there wasn't anything specific that we could latch onto, but I did come across a couple of things here that were probably, if not a holiday want that I never got, were at least in the right time frame or something throughout my childhood that I wanted but didn't get. And one of them I'll go with is similar to Adam, but a little bit different, and that would be Hot Wheels tracks.
Oh, sure.
There's a couple different ones, like your basic Hot Wheels stunt tracks, you know, with all the orange flexible stuff you kind of rearrange all over the place. I thought the commercials were great. You know, there would be tracks, you'd set them up on a table and they'd go down, they'd do all these great tricks and loop-de-loops and whatnot. That'd be cool. I wasn't ever really into Hot Wheels that much, but the tracks looked really, really fun. But there's definitely one now that I landed on that kind of jogged my memory, and that would be this special track right here.
This year's Hot Wheels Crisscross Crash Race Set. Drive and skill is what you need to avoid a crash at this high speed on a figure eight track with a Crisscross Crash. You can crack them up faster and watch them flash out of the curve. It's nearly a bastard. That's the chance you take. High speed, quick flash on Crisscross Crash.
Hot Wheels Crisscross Crash Race Set. Not for use with all Hot Wheels cars. You put it together. New from Mattel.
What year did that tech commercial come out, does it say?
I believe it was 1978, but it ran from like 78 to 82. So if you're not familiar with the Crisscross Crash, it's basically a figure eight track that meets in the middle in the Crisscross Crash zone. And you got these little hand cranks that you spin around. They're like, you know, wheels that push the cars down the tracks, right? So the cars are zooming around. They might criss, they might crash,
And yes.
That was the excitement of it.
And that another toy that we sold at Toys R Us. So I'm thinking about we had an aisle full of Hot Wheels cars and Matchbox cars, and then there would be these specialty tracks, and people would always be asking for the replacement tracks. Like, do you just have those?
Yeah.
And half the time we did, half the time we didn't, but...
So Hot Wheels definitely would have been something I was sort of into as a younger kid. But this would have been like before Star Wars really took over my life. You know, if it came out in 78, it would have been right in that area. But it was not too long before Star Wars was my all-consuming passion.
Yes, as any good youth of the time.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the updated version of this?
Crisscross Crash?
Yeah.
What does it look like?
It's like two figure eights.
Oh.
Two figure eights that are kind of like cross each other in the middle, and with you know like a battery operated mechanism that kind of
batteries. They didn't have kid power.
Exactly.
Oh, I can look at the Amazon listing here. Look at this beast. It's like a clover leaf here.
I'm watching a video of like two, I don't know, 7 or 8 year old boys playing with it, and they every time the cars crash, they are pumped.
I mean, you could almost simulate this on any interstate freeway these days, but
it's true.
You know, but maybe not the crisscross crash part, but you can definitely hit those loops.
You've got something to look forward to, Adam. I think you're probably collecting. You're getting like a toy list for your son here as we go through.
Yeah, no screen time, but all the violent toys you want.
Love it.
As we know, the best parents impose their own cultural wants on their children.
Right. And that's exactly how you do it. Well, let's move on to my second toy. This one I would consider the white whale. This is a mythological toy that anybody who was into G.I. Joe in the 80s would know exactly what I'm talking about. This was the biggest playset ever made for G.I. Joe and probably for any toy line ever. It was 7.5 feet long. It came out 1985. I'm talking about the G.I. Joe U.S. flag playset. Jared, play the commercial, the vintage commercial, and let's give a little color to this story.
I got it!
Wow! Here it is, the USS flag aircraft carrier. Imagine being on the deck of this aircraft carrier.
The USS flag is fantastic! It's so big!
USS Flag Aircraft Carrier comes with what you see here. Other figures and equipment sold separately.
It comes with so much stuff they just can't even tell you. It came with one figure. It came with a bunch of stuff to, like, help you move around your ships. This thing was massive. It came out in 1985. At that time, I was in sixth grade, which was the last year of my toy buying life. By that time, once you get into middle school, no one is buying toys. No one is playing with toys. Or if you did, you kept it under wraps big time. I remember asking my dad about this and my stepmom. And I think that they would laugh in my face, but they wouldn't necessarily rule it out completely.
Sure.
So even though I knew in my heart of hearts that I was not going to get this, there was just that little twinge of hope that maybe I would walk into my bedroom, and then they would have it sitting there like this big surprise.
Yeah.
It did not happen.
No.
Did not happen. By the way, so I always like to play the pricing game. 1985, this came out. What do you think the price was for the 7.5 foot long behemoth? We'll start with Adam.
I feel like we've done this question already. But
I'm just going to keep guessing 119. I'll be right event.
Okay, and Jared?
I think it was a cool $99.99.
You guys, you split the difference. It came out at $110.
Okay.
And I think we did do this in a pricing game.
Yeah.
The scope price is right, but it's worth revisiting. Just imagine, like, what...
$110, and that's $85.
Jared, look that up in 1985. What is 100? What would 110... It's got to be at least $200. It's got to be $200.
All right, hold on. So we got... $110?
Yes.
Start year? Which year? 1985. You're lucky I just reopened this tab. Calculate. That is $257.66.
That is crazy. Nowadays, there are toys that run for that much. There are play sets that go that. But,
yeah,
I mean,
but
none of them are...
festooned with electronics.
Yeah.
They definitely have a Bluetooth interface.
And none of them are even as close to as big as this thing was. And I've watched a lot of YouTube videos, like retro videos of people who are collectors, and they're kind of going through their stuff, and the USS flag is always one that G.I. Joe collectors talk about and have videos of. And it's sort of shoddily built. It's kind of, you know, a lot of cardboard pieces, a lot of plastic struts that sort of keep it together, but
yeah,
it's not
worth
it was
that
not
kind of money.
Well made. I mean, it's to the point where people who are true collectors and want to have something that's a showcase piece, well, they'll actually have to create their own wooden base that fits the length of this thing. Oh, someone's dialing in.
Adam's getting a call. Sorry, it's his other show he's got to go do.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Of all technology.
That is amazing. So, yeah, the USS flag playset, I wanted it, and I knew I would never get it. And for the record, this is one that I would never go back and rebuy. The only
No, that's a commitment. You need to, like, if you're going to have that now, you need to have a space for it.
And there, I think back about 10 years ago, Hasbro actually teased a re-release or something like this. I think it was connected to some of the G.I. Joe movies that came out. But I think wisely they got smart and decided not to do it, just because I think that something like this would just be impossibly expensive and very few people would buy it. But,
you know,
there you go.
As a G.I. Joe fan, you know, same era as you, Shane, I was sort of interested in this, but... Yeah. You know, not only did the size was, you know, like, ooh, this is really cool and it's huge and I like that, but the proportions were never quite right for me. It seemed a little weird. So,
yeah, and it's got a false, you know, it's like it's full on one side, but if you look at it from the other side, it's literally like split in half, so you can just see everything. And I had cousins that actually had this, So I was a couple years older, and I remember going over and babysitting them, and they had this, and
they had like the
Cobra Apple Valley. Oh. They had the Cobra Pterodrome sitting on the deck. I mean, they had it made up for having terrible parents that weren't great, but it was a spectacle. But I could see it also growing old pretty quickly, because where are you going to sleep? I mean, literally, it would be your entire bedroom.
You sleep on the deck of the USS Flag.
Just cozy up.
I saw the kids on the ship. They were there. You could easily pull up a sleeping bag and sleep there.
That's how big it was. Adam, let's move on to your second forgotten and sad toy.
Sure. Are we doing two or three?
I'm going to do three, but you can do two if you want.
No, I'll do three.
Okay.
So my second one is a game that I thought was, you know, like brand new when I saw the amazing commercial that everyone's going to remember once we play it here in a minute. But it was actually originally introduced in 1971. So this is Crossfire.
Oh, it's that old, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. They updated it, you know, quite a bit through the years. But I think the version that we're probably most familiar with is the one with the cool commercial with all the bad CG and flame and lightning effects and
late 80s, early 90s. Got to catch them in the Crossfire commercial.
Exactly.
I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah. Let's play the commercial and then we can talk about it.
It's sometime in the future. The ultimate challenge. Crossfire.
Crossfire. You can count the Crossfire. Crossfire.
Wow,
that's not that's actually not the commercial that I remember. I bet you if Jared looked it up, he probably could find the 80s one where they've got this catchy Crossfire theme. But Adam, let's you and I vamp while
you're sure you're not thinking of the Tucker Carlson Crossfire.
Well, I mean, I think that he might have been a corporate sponsor of it. Okay. Bow tie right in the center. So yeah, this one had all those little ball bearings.
Exactly. I was reading that. I found the original manual online, and it's like 40 metal marbles, and basically you sit across a, I don't know, 12-inch square from your opponent, shooting these out of this little kind of spring-loaded gun. And there's a disc in the middle, and the disc has kind of little arms on it, and you're shooting the marbles to try to spin and shoot the disc into your opponent's goal. And it's like, I think it's a game that probably lasts about 20 seconds each round. And I imagine it's pretty fun because you're shooting stuff. So probably pretty fun for the first day or so, and then it probably loses all appeal pretty quick.
I would imagine
you're shooting stuff. I can't imagine like how many times kids got these metal marbles like in their eyes.
If you look at the, like, or kids are eating them. I mean, this is just many, many opportunities for disaster.
Yeah.
You find any commercials, Jared? Or
I have no idea if they're from the right era, but I could see.
Let's just play one. Just right, let's get one more.
First result.
It's sometime.
That's the same
future.
One.
Okay. I think they're all going to be the same.
It's
okay.
Sometime in the future.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe this one?
It's sometime.
That's a better quality. Better. Adam, you didn't do very good research.
This one's from 1990.
Try that one. Fire, this is it.
You got to win it in the fire. Fire. You got to win it in the fire. Fire. You got to win it in the fire. Fire. Crossfire.
The action gets incredibly hot, and you've got to win it in the crossfire.
Sounds like my dating life at the time. Action incredibly hot.
One of the kids has like a Chuck Norris headband on. It's crazy. He's really into it.
Well, that's a great pick, Adam.
Thanks.
Jared, do you have anything else from your J-Dub days?
I do. I'll hit a couple of like broad categories I was definitely interested in and didn't get really get anything from. Legos.
Oh,
I was always into Legos, but that was more of a like save your allowance, buy it type of thing.
You were allowed to have Legos.
I was allowed to have Legos.
That's good.
They weren't violent. But I just, you know.
I'm sure you made, like,
Star Wars. I was allowed
Wars
to
ships,
have Star I Wars. You. I was allowed to have Transformers, but I could only have the good guys.
Did your parents take the guns away when you got them?
No. I don't think so. There was an episode, though, where the neighbor kids had a bunch of Star Wars guys, and we did a trade. Like, my brother and I did a trade.
Yeah.
And we got some of the bad guys. No. My parents made us go and put that trade right back.
Did you, like, show your parents, hey, we got Darth Vader, or did you try to keep it secret and then they discovered?
I'm sure we tried to keep it secret because we knew we weren't supposed to have them. Mm. So, yeah.
And that helped shape the man you are today.
Absolutely. But we're going to go into the land of electronics a little bit here. One toy, for whatever reason I wanted, was a Mattel Electronics football game.
Oh.
You know, the stupid
the white one?
Yeah, it was like white, or there was a couple different versions.
There was a pro version too, but the main one was white.
And it was dumb. It was just a stupid little red LED. You just moved it up or down and forward.
And we didn't have anything better than that, Jared. That was cutting edge technology.
I know. I played a neighbor kid's one for a while, and I got really good at it. And I'm like, I want one of these for myself, but never got that. But in the land of video games, you had a few different players during this era. And the one I really wanted was ColecoVision.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted ColecoVision because, number one, it looked better.
It looked almost arcade quality.
Commercials
made
it look better. And they had this thing called the expansion that would allow you to play Atari 2600 games on it, too. I'm like, well, that's the best of both worlds.
Yeah, you've got it all thought out.
Why wouldn't you want that? So let's see how they advertised it.
It's Atari's video game, Defender.
I played on ColecoVision.
Activision.
I played on ColecoVision.
Mattel's M-Network and Imagine.
We played them on ColecoVision.
Introducing ColecoVision's first expansion module that lets you play all Atari 2600 compatible cartridges. And with all of ColecoVision's cartridges, that means you can play more games than any other video game system. It's simple. You can play Atari 2600 cartridges on ColecoVision, but you can't play ColecoVision on Atari.
ColecoVision, the expandable video game home computer system.
I mean, that's math even a kid understands. So, yeah, I mean, this seemed like this was the best thing to get, right? This is the best. You get Coleco games, you get Atari games, it's all good, television, whatever.
So you made your case to your parents, and they said, absolutely, we'll do this for you. No, run right out and get this.
I think this was more of a there were not the financial resources to get a video game system.
I never owned one either.
When we were way younger, my dad, we had a Pong system for a little while, but we never got an Atari VCS/2600. We never got a ColecoVision, Mattel, whatever. The only real home game system that I got was when the NES came out. My brother and I saved our paper out money and went halvesies on it.
How long did it take you to save your money? Do you remember? Long time?
I don't know. Paper outs paid all right. Okay. Yeah.
Did you get $10 a week or something like that?
I don't know. And we were a distribution center at our house, so we got a little extra scratch.
Oh.
We just had to, you know, assemble the Sunday papers.
Yeah, that part sucked. Yeah. Well, wow, Jared. And you never went back and rebought a ColecoVision?
I never did.
Did you ever play an emulator of ColecoVision games? Or was
no,
it just not worth it?
It was sort of like its time.
Yeah.
Like I was way into it when it was a thing.
Yeah. But then once Nintendo came out, half of those games crossed
honestly,
over.
Honestly, I didn't know anyone who had a ColecoVision. I couldn't tell you like what the premier titles on the ColecoVision were right now. Donkey Kong.
I think that was the big deal. My mom's husband, I guess he would be my stepdad for a short time. He was a kind of a video game guy, and he got a ColecoVision. And Donkey Kong definitely was, or Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr.
Yep. Those were definitely the ones I remember being ones I wanted.
And then I would play Mr. Do and Ladybug with my mom.
Okay.
Those are the games that I specifically remember. But like you said, the difference was if you look at Donkey Kong on the Atari 2600, it was awful. It didn't look anything like it. The sound didn't look anything like it. But the ColecoVision, it was like exactly the same.
Right.
You would have never known that it wasn't on the arcade.
And this game, the system was only like out for like, what, 2 years or something?
Yeah,
like
it
was very short-lived.
It burned very hot and very bright, but it also faded quickly.
So there you go.
Right.
That's
so that's Jared's second. Let's finish. We'll finish my my list up with the third. Now, this, I would argue, maybe is the best toy to ever come from the 80s. Jared, just play the commercial.
There we go.
From days of long ago comes a legend. The legend of Voltron, defender of the universe.
That's great.
Five fearless lion robots. Luck Lion. Green Lion. Yellow Lion. Red Lion, Blue Lion.
Go! 4x4!
Who together form Voltron. Lion sets each sold separately from Matchbox.
So yeah, it was the imported Lion Force, I don't know, Go Lion toy. It was this probably a 18-inch tall Voltron die-cast five lions that would merge together as one. It was the first real combining robot, and it was the best combining robot. It was released because the Voltron cartoon was so popular. As a matter of fact, the interesting thing about this is it was actually called Voltron 3. There were two other Voltron
sets.
Yeah,
that confused me.
So there was the vehicle Voltron, which a lot of people know, which was not die-cast. It was pretty much plastic, and it was combined. It was a five different vehicles that were 15 different vehicles that would combine together, the air, sea, and land force.
Mm-hmm. So they would combine, the individuals would combine into three bigger vehicles, and then those would, you could split them apart and then make a giant robot.
And then they had Voltron 2, which was supposed to be aired on TV here, but never was. And it was actually just three robots, and then those robots would combine into a big six-armed robot.
Yeah.
But it was something that, for whatever reason, with the popularity of the Voltron, Lion Voltron, they just never followed through on. So Lion Force was, but those
completely
toys,
different shows anyway.
Yes, and those toys were all. I mean, the Lion or the Voltron 1, 2, and 3 were all in the stores.
Here's
the thing: back in 1984, to get that Matchbox Voltron Lion Force set, you guys have any idea how much that would have cost?
Hmm.
It was expensive.
$219.
Oh, not even close. Not even close.
$79.99.
Jared is more in the ballpark. I believe it was $75. So you
$75.
$75.
What year?
1984, 85. Couldn't quite.
We'll go 84. Calculate. It's $181.93
right
now.
And the thing about this was that you could buy them individually. So you could buy the Black Lion in a set. And then you could, if you wanted, you could buy an arm and a leg together, and there was two different versions of that.
It's like buying chicken.
Right. It was like $25 per set. So I never got this, but I remember one fall or spring morning, I got a call from my friend down the street. It was early. He's like, my parents bought me the Voltron set. And we all ran over there and played with this thing. And because it was five different toys, you could actually have your friends over and goof around. The problem is once you put it together, it was a one-man show. And it didn't really stick together that much. I never went back and rebought it, but there is a happy ending to this story. Back in I think Jared was involved in this, back in the end days of me working at Toys R Us with Jared and a bunch of other guys, we actually used to exchange Christmas presents. Do you remember this, Jared?
Vaguely.
So,
I don't know if I was part of it every year.
But so we would get together and we would, you know, it was almost like a second Christmas for everyone. And this particular was probably 1996, maybe. A company called Trendmasters actually got the mold to the vehicle or the Lion Force Voltron, and they re-released it. All die-cast, pretty much exactly the same with just a couple of different tweaks. And they actually included all the different weapons and the swords and shields that did not come with the original Matchbox. But they released it for like $40. It was really cheap, maybe even $30.
I'm still mad I never bought one.
And this particular Christmas, a bunch of my friends, including Jared, I'm quite sure that Jared chipped in on this. They all chipped in and they bought this for me for Christmas. So I, you know, we're hanging out and we're opening presents and I get this giant box and everybody was really nice enough to buy this big Voltron for me. So I still have that thing sitting in my office. It is a prize piece of my toy collection. It reminds me of being a kid. It reminds me of my days at Toys R Us. And it reminds me of how nice my friends were back then. I mean, it was totally way above and beyond anything that anyone would have to do. And it was one of those moments where, like you saw, it sounds stupid, but just you saw what the power of friendship could do. It was just a very kind and thoughtful thing. So happy ending. Voltron is in my possession and is to this day.
Well, that's quite the story.
Thanks. Adam, give me your last toy and tell me how your friends affected you with it.
my last toy, it's funny, I was going through this list and I was like, you know, the biggest lasting toy from my childhood that I still like, you know, to these days are video games. And I was like, well, what video game console did I not have? And I don't want to sound like rich, spoiled kid, but like, kind of had all the video game consoles. Like, I didn't have the weird ones like Neo Geo or anything like that.
3DO, did you have that?
What's that?
3DO.
The 3DO. No, didn't have a 3DO.
Atari Jaguar.
Remember when we got a 3DO like at Toys R Us? It was well after it had initially launched. And we're like, why are we even getting this?
Yeah.
Like, did we sell one ever?
Mm-mm.
Anyway.
That was a weird one. I mean, this was split between my mom's house and my dad's house, so it's not like I always had access to them.
Sure.
But one thing I didn't get that I really, really wanted was a Game Boy.
Really?
Never could convince anyone that this is something I deserved, I guess.
Because you didn't. You were a bad person.
Yeah, apparently. So some facts about the Game Boy that I was surprised to learn. So it came out in 1989 in North America.
Yep.
And immediately sold out its million, the stock of a million that were in North America and available. Kind of starting, I guess, the Nintendo trend of under delivering the initial amount you might need. Do you guys have any guess for how long the Game Boy lasted in production? And this would include like Game Boy Color, Game Boy Micro, you know, all. It's still the Game Boy.
Came out
right?
1989. I bet you that sucker probably went to.
Yeah.
Early 2000s, like 2002.
Talking original Game Boy?
Yeah. Like with all the different permutations.
But oh.
Not right. Like Super Game Boy. You're not counting that, are you? Or Game Boy Color, I mean.
Game Boy Color counts. That's okay. Part of the Game Boy line.
Oh, I so bet you.
Until the Game Boy Advance came out.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. 2006, maybe? Just a guess.
It's 2001.
Oh, I was close.
You were better.
And it sold 118 million units.
9/11.
All of them combined.
Did you ever go back and buy one? I mean, you can probably get them cheap now.
No, I did have a Game Boy Advance, which would play old Game Boy games. Mm-hmm. But I never, it's like at that point, it's like, you know, we've all kind of moved on. I think I might have, with the Game Boy Advance, I think I might have bought one of the Pokemons, like Yellow.
Sure.
That was the Pikachu one. And started down my road of not understanding why everyone likes these games, because I can't get into those games at all.
Yes. Yeah, I got a Game Boy in 1989. I remember it very clearly because my mom was like, this is going to be the only gift you get. Because it's expensive. So I got it. And I remember getting...
Does she know how expensive the USS flag was adjusted for inflation?
She had no idea. So I ended up... I got that and I got a game. I think the game that I got with it was Mario, which is... Obviously, that's the one you want. But the other one that I really, really wanted was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle game, which was very... They were very hot at the time in 1989. And I remember going all over town like, oh, maybe Target has it. Maybe this game... whatever the game stores were at the time, and finally finding one. So I bought it, and then I beat the game probably like in 2 hours. And it was like a $30 game, 2 hours. And I was like, oh, and I probably will never play this again. I think that was a problem with a lot of those Game Boy games, especially the side scrollers. They just couldn't fit a lot into it. So you'd burn through pretty quickly.
Not the perfect game, Tetris.
Yes. And played a lot of Tetris, a lot of Tetris.
One of the most successful games ever.
I don't think there was no multiplayer, right? I think you could later on kind of link multiple Game Boys together, but it wasn't a multiplayer Game Boy, Tetris.
Yeah, you're fighting against the computer, and that's that. Good story, Adam.
Oh, thanks.
Very good. Jared, do you have any final thoughts? Do you have anything else you want to add, or are we going to wrap the sucker up?
No, I don't think, Adam, we had a third clip here. Is that, you want to play that or no?
Oh, that's an amazing Game Boy ad, yeah.
Oh, let's listen to it. I didn't even know that.
Wasn't humanly possible. But now you can have all the power and excitement of Nintendo right in the palm of your hand. Introducing Game Boy. It's portable, it's in stereo, and its games are interchangeable. Plus, Game Boy comes with the outrageous new game, Tetris. And for head-to-head competition, use the revolutionary video link and blow your opponent away.
I guess you can right
away.
Game
Boy, only from Nintendo. Now you're playing with power. Portable power.
That commercial just totally destroyed what you said, Adam.
Wow. I really should have done more research.
I have to say, though, we talked about this on this show, living through that era of video games with Nintendo, Game Boy, Genesis, Super Nintendo, nothing better.
Oh, yeah.
It was always exciting. It was new. It was fun to sit and complain and fight with your friends about which was better. It was a good time.
Yeah, it's not. Everything was like the next system was more likely to be a visual improvement. Like you could notice it. Like these days, that doesn't really happen that much.
Just things are so good that it's hard to beat it.
I mean, it's what? It's 4K. It's high definition. It's HDR. Like how much better can it get?
Yeah. Eventually, it'll look like movies.
Yeah,
but we're not quite there yet.
No.
At any rate, let's stop meandering. This has been a fantastic trip down the holiday memory lane. Thanks, guys, for putting some effort. And yeah, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with coming soon right after this.
We now join the scope already in progress.
Under the scope.
Like I said, Under the Scope is here. So is Coming Soon. And Adam, we put the show in your able hands.
Yeah.
Cradle like a young infant.
There's really not much to talk about.
Yeah, it's amazing how little comes out this time of year. Like, oh yeah, Shane, a new Mario's coming out. We've got the entire original Star Wars trilogy on DVD, the unedited original versions. I mean, it's a lost opportunity, isn't it?
Yeah. I hear that Red Dead 3 is actually coming out.
Wow, they turned that around quickly.
So let's see. Music, it says here, nothing of note. It's pretty rough for the albums that are coming out.
The end of the music industry. We don't need it anymore.
We're not noting them. Movies, we've got Holmes and Watson. That's the, what is this, probably sixth movie featuring John C. Reilly and
Will Ferrell.
His good friend Will Ferrell, yeah.
I think this movie is going to be a flop, by the way.
Yeah, probably.
It's going to be a flop.
And then we have Stan and Ollie, which is the movie about the Who's on First guys.
This also stars John C. Reilly.
Really?
Yep, he plays Stan, the big guy.
Laurel and Hardy? Is that these guys?
Yep, Laurel and Hardy.
There you go.
They're not the Who's on First guys.
Yeah, you're probably right. Let's see. That's
Abbott and Costello.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I wasn't sure if you were being cheeky or not.
Sure. Real, I hit it really well. Home video, we've got White Boy Rick, which I vaguely remember coming out a few months ago.
And Matthew McConaughey film, I believe.
Yeah. Video games, also nothing of note.
But I thought you said Red Dead 3 was coming out.
Like I said, nothing of note, though.
Okay. Yeah, nobody needs that.
No.
But there must be something that might be of more interest to you. Hit it or miss it. Hit of the week. Hit it or miss it.
Miss of the week. Look out! Oof. That was crazy. I'm going to pick a movie this week as my my pick. And that is Vice.
Oh. Tell us a little bit about this film.
I don't want to. People should be unsurprised. This is not the story of the co-founder of Vice, Gavin McGinnis, starting the Proud Boys. This is actually the story of former vice president, Dick Cheney. Mm. You might remember him because he shot his friend in the chest with a shotgun.
Yeah, hunting. Accidentally, right?
Yeah, that's the story. And everyone lived. And I think it was like a happy ending.
Yeah, like they had a good laugh about it.
Exactly.
Who's playing Cheney in this?
That guy from The Machinist.
Right, going way back. Christian Bale.
Yeah.
You want some breaking news, Adam?
What's that?
You want some breaking news?
I'd love some.
Jared has sneak preview tickets for him and myself for Monday.
Oh,
the day this show is released.
Well, no, we'll see. The day this is coming out.
Oh yeah, sorry,
Christmas Eve. Yeah. So we will have seen it a week prior.
Oh, this is very confusing. But yes, we will get to see this film. I'll tell you all about it.
I can't wait to hear about it.
My guess is it's probably going to make me angry about the Bush years. I'll laugh about it, but I'll also be angry about it.
Angrier?
Probably angrier. Yeah. Like, cool. I mean, it's a sliding scale of what makes me angry, but this is less than what we have now. But it will just remind me of what it was when I was angry then, too. So what the hell are you going to do?
Be angry.
Be angry. You're right. Happy holidays. That's what I say. Terrific, Adam. That was a hit it or miss it.
Under the scope.
Here we are, Jared. Bring us home.
I'll wet my pipes.
So
here we are. It's the final D block of the 2018 season. It's holidays.
Yeah.
So, you know, We're deep into it. You're probably listening to this as you maybe drive down the road, heading to grandma's house for Christmas, probably.
On a sleigh ride, perhaps.
Maybe you're listening to this in the new year.
Maybe you're in the barn chopping wood for the fire.
All these things happen. Chestnuts are roasting. Snow is falling, maybe. Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful sight. I can picture it.
So we wish you good tidings and holiday cheer from the Scope. And maybe you want to do the same and you know, reciprocate. You know how these things go.
Right.
Email us, comments@thescopeshow.com. Call the voicemail line, 612-21-SCOPE. That is 612-217-2673. And we're also on Facebook and Twitter. Those links are at our website, thescopeshow.com, which we promise in 2019 we'll get a refresh.
I hear you're already refreshing other people's sites. You're going to turn that out in a weekend.
Yeah.
So that's just going to wet your whistle to knock this out of the park.
My whistle for Will Wheaton.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, if you want to support the show directly, you can head to patreon.com/thescopeshow, where you can pledge as little as $1 an episode, set a monthly cap, cancel anytime. It's you support the show. It's what you do. You just say, I value the content that we're putting out, and I'm going to throw a small portion of my wage towards them. It's like tithing, but for podcasts.
It's easy.
Yeah. And I know the holidays are already here, so you've already done your shopping, but that doesn't mean you don't still need fresh underwear.
And there's tons of holiday deals,
Jared.
Post-holiday deals.
Right. There's tons of stuff coming. You know you're going to shop at Amazon, mm-hmm. So head to thescopeshow.com/Amazon, click that affiliate link, and a little bit of your purchase goes in our pockets, doesn't cost you anything extra, and it keeps the show going.
Buy White Boy Rick on DVD.
Sure, why not?
Adam's already, I can hear him typing on his computer right now, pre-ordering.
That happens all the time, across America and across the world. Back to you, Shane.
Thank you. Well, what a fantastic job we did. Guys, it's the holiday season, and the end of the year, so it's kind of a double whammy, as Jared pointed out. But I'm still shocked that we continue to do this show. I mean, a lot of people wish we wouldn't.
Yeah.
One of them being Jared.
Coming up on our 13th anniversary.
It is amazing. But, my heart, I have to say that this is a fantastic creative outlet for us. I get to hang out with two smart, funny guys. And
me.
And
who's the third guy?
I don't know. I want to sign it to anybody. But it pleases me greatly that I get to do this stuff with you guys. And I hope whatever happens in 2019, it will also be great.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Adam, any closing remarks as 2018 comes to an end?
Dab more.
You heard it here first.
I'm writing that down. Dab more. Well, Jared, let's wrap this sucker up. Goodbye, 2018. Goodbye, holidays. We loved you. We'll see you next year with more Scope. So until then, bye for now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying, Annyeong. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.